because it was to be monitored by two men who were chairs of departments with no women in them. Now that's the kind of thing that we are specifically saying we do not want from the group that puts together this affirmative action. There has never been a systematic gathering from departments of their own history of hiring, tenure, and promotion. Those against whom complaints were brought were often given the role of resolving these very complaints. That's an all too common practice. It's happened in all kinds of issues, most recently in sexual harassment. When more information was required, the work was handed over to people, women, who were expected to work without funds, secretarial help, or any independence or clout. In 1979, for example, when the Commission on the Status of Women requested an update of the Affirmative Action Plan, the acting chancellor, Howard McCoyne, asked them to produce some long-term goals. When data was presented by the very woman being exploited by the university as TAs, lecturers, and instructors have been used to bolster the very data given by them have been used to bolster spurious claims of equity. Affirmative action on this campus has had a dismal history. All that we can do is reiterate once again the need for access to records, an honest appraisal of the situation, and a commitment to genuine concern and change. Personally, I would like a woman watchdog or a pool of them who would participate in all search committees to keep the collective feet of the hirers on this campus to the fire. We need to change the history before yet another decade slips away. And this is signed by Ann Keppel. We are especially pleased today at the list of signers on the letter that is to be sent to the Board of Regents. Keith, when are you going to graduate?
A long time.
Oh, okay. I was going to say if it's within a year, I wouldn't hold my breath on this. But we hope that if it's a long time, that in
not
fact...
Not too long.
In fact, we're calling for this commission now. This is a proposal that was presented to the president last year by the New Affirmative Action Coalition. As Scott has told you, it was this kind of proposal that was repeatedly denied. The two things that we think are important is that the commission be appointed from a broad-based group, that it be headed by a faculty member who's a woman of color, and that it be empowered. That's the important thing. We don't want a repeat of the sexual harassment situation where the task force made their report and then the president carried the report from group to group, slashing as he went. So that no one, I think, to this day really knows exactly what the sexual harassment policy is. We do not want a repeat of that. This commission needs to be empowered to produce the policy. The policy needs to be comprehensive. That's the other thing that we've said to the president for a year now. It is not to be Band-Aids. It is to have, as how Nani has said, it needs goals, it needs follow-up, it needs monitoring, it needs, in short, accountability. When we have discussed that with the president, he has always said that he doesn't want anybody to be put off by this document. So that is his answer to accountability. Okay. The commission must have empowerment. One of the reasons that we chose this time to come so public is because of the really good support that we've gotten, both from the WASC, and as Jean has mentioned, and I want especially to stress the auditor's report. And I want to give some history on that, because that auditor's report was done in response to one of the resolutions that was passed at the legislature last year that Scott has talked about. And that resolution to have this report made was, like every other resolution, gone against by the administration. They spoke against this resolution. But now the auditor's report is out. It's very clear. Its message is that there is no effective affirmative action plan on this campus. So that's why those things that have happened are why, plus all of this terrible graffiti, all of the vilification that's gone on of Professor Trask, and now I noticed in the Star Bulletin there was a little notice like this that said that she is not to be fired from her position. When the announcement was made that she was to be investigated, the headlines were there. Now, in a little tiny thing like this, she's vindicated. She should be vindicated in the headlines, and with it should be an apology. The Women's Caucus stated in a letter to President Simone on February 20th that we think that the rash of hate posters and graffiti is directly tied to what's been going on around the Haunani Trask case, and we think we said before that the Haunani Trask case is directly tied to lack of affirmative action on this campus, to lack of a climate that has education for both the students and faculty, a climate that has unequivocal support by the president of the university against this kind of horrible, horrifying graffiti and posters that have been on this campus. And that's where we see the linkage between everything that's gone on. The president of the university must take a stand. If he is the supporter that the Star Bulletin, and sometimes I think the Star Bulletin has been paid to be flack for the president. They seem to come out and support him no matter what we say. But if he has that commitment that the Star Bulletin seems to think he has, then he should be making a public stand against this kind of vilification. He should be anxiously moving toward the kind of commission and the kind of affirmative action plan that we are calling for here this morning. Thank you very much. This is the end of the formal statements. If anybody from the press has any questions that they would like to direct at any member of the panel, please do so now. Of course, we'd also be available for interviews and statements if you want to do it later. But if anyone has a question, please, this is the time for it.
Have you received any feedback from the Board of Regents?
No. The letter was sent to the Board of Regents this morning. Yeah, the letter was sent to the Board of Regents this morning. They are aware that it will be coming. Thank you.
The UH already has an equal opportunity and affirmative action office. Are you not happy with what they have done so far?
I am not happy. I am unhappy. The affirmative action office too often, well, we have said, this is another thing that, and if anybody else who wants to reply to this, please do. We have said all along that the grievance procedure at this university has more to do with PR and protecting the administration than it has to do with protecting the people who come for grievance. We think that that office, this is one of the things we've said for a year, we think that office does not have enough independence. It needs to have its own budget. This is one of the things we address in the letter. The head of that office needs to be more independent so that her job is not dependent directly on the president. No, we are not happy with what's going on. At the last meeting that we had with the new Affirmative Action Commission, the new Affirmative Action Coalition and the president, the head of the EEOAA office herself said that our actions, she's speaking of the office, have been mainly concerned with compliance.
I have something to add. This has nothing to do with the quality of the officer, but it indicates the lack of commitment to EEO matters. The typical staff for that office on the mainland is 4. We have 1. And this is indicative of the kind of commitment that this university does not have for EEO and AA.
Does anyone else want to comment on that?
Yeah, I just want to add one thing. I mean,
would you like to come up here?
Yeah, I just want to say that.
This is Mimi Sharma, who was one of the 4 cases that we started with, in case any of you don't know.
No, I just want to comment EEO and AA for our Florida friend. can't have an office unless it's an advocacy office, otherwise it's just compliance, and actually I've attended many of the meetings. What you do is the officer really instructs the faculty, the deans, and the chairs how to avoid getting caught up and slipping when they fill out the form. So it is a compliance office. And the point I wanted to make in two weeks ago, Thursday, when we had the peace forum and the meeting on affirmative action and minority and women in the campus, the current EEOAA officer said very clearly she is not in an advocacy position.
That's right. She deserves it at the university. Any other questions?
One more on the
Yeah.
You know what? You said that it looks like the stuff that is in this building is also stuff in another building.
Yeah.
You seem to be indicting the system here using this as an example, but it appears that the same person is responsible for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what can a commission or a university do to stop a couple of crazy people with some massive markers? You know, do you think that this is really a massive problem, or is this just a couple of crazy people on the ground?
Well, I don't suppose that the administration is writing the graffiti, if that's what you mean, but... No, I know. I understand what you're saying. We all think, and I think maybe Hanani will want to say something about this too. We don't think that it's an accident that this kind of thing has started since Hanani K. Trask has been officially investigated and attacked by both the Faculty Senate and the President of the University. We don't take that to be an accident. There hasn't been an outbreak of graffiti like this on campus for years. We don't think that's an accident. We don't think it's an accident that it has broken out at the time that the sexual harassment policy is being debated and an attempt is being made to get the people who are guilty of that to have their names released. We don't think it's an accident that these things have come now. So that's where we see the linkage. If there is a clear atmosphere on campus that clearly indicates that this sort of thing is totally unacceptable. You see, when the president has made his statements about this, he starts by saying, I don't like that, that's terrible. Then he links it to what the Hawaiian Studies people have done. So in essence, he's saying, his message is, I don't hate this graffiti any more than I hate the Hawaiian Studies actions. The Hawaiian Studies actions, of course, have been constitutionally guaranteed demonstrations. So it's that kind of atmosphere surrounding this that we think gives the permission for this kind of thing to take place.
Let me just try and answer your question. My students had three meetings with Simone Rockfriedis and Doris Ching on various occasions. And they tried to explain that for 4 months, Hawaiian Studies has received the following: hate calls, racist calls, violent threats against us. My secretary has received this hate mail that we gave out to members of the press previously. Personal attacks on me in the form of stickers that were put up all over the campus. And when they explained this to him, his response, and this is almost a direct quote, was, oh, well, I thought that you, Hawaiian Studies, was using this as a political ploy to get at the philosophy department. Mm-hmm. Now, my students were shocked that he would think that we would go to that extent to create flyers and stickers to what, I don't know, call ourselves on the phone, threaten 19-year-old students. One of my students received a call, a female student who wrote a letter to Kaleo supporting my job. And she was called by a man who said, if you were raped by 5 white men, you'd think differently. Now, this is not a few crazy people. That's something we need to understand. This is a phenomenon, and it's encouraged by this kind of witch hunting that goes on the campus. Now, as long as it was us, me or my students, the administration's position was, well, you know, so big deal. Then it started to be anti-Japanese very recently. And all of a sudden, Al Simone thinks this is a terrible thing. Now, it's unfortunate that he thinks that Hawaiians are less of human beings, apparently, that we have less feelings or less concern.
I do know that when he left the meeting and Rock Freitas and Doris Ching stayed behind, they were extremely upset to hear what my students had to say. Both of them acknowledged that they knew nothing of this on the campus. More recently, we have discovered that one of our supporters, who is a white man in the political science department, has had dozens of flyers faxed to him that are so vicious, that are both violent and racist. And we know who at least, that one flyer, we know for certain, was done by this person who is not being investigated by the administration. We know that. We released that information last Thursday. Now, you know, Al Simone said, if we find people, we'll give them counseling. No, I think what he should do is prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, because that is terroristic threatening and defacing of public property. So I don't think that this latest thing is just a few crazy people. Not when you consider that it's been months of hate calls to Hawaiian Studies, hate letters, then it spilled over into posters and stickers on the campus. It's not a few crazy people. It's a phenomenon that's encouraged by a president who says, well, you know, in his official press release, the first press release he made, he said that those displays against Hawaiian Studies were similar, that was the word he used, similar to what the supporters of Hawaiian Studies have done. When he was pressed by Rob Perez of the Star Bulletin, he said the Hawaiian Studies newsletter and the Hawaiian Studies rally in front of the philosophy department. The Hawaiian Studies newsletter is wonderful. I mean, it's our position on this controversy, and the rally is constitutionally guaranteed right of assembly and speech. Now, if the president doesn't have a sense of proportion in this, then he needs to be removed from his job, because let me just finish by saying that, you know, for my students who are Hawaiians, it is incredibly frightening to go into a bathroom and see the director of your program sprawl pictures of her and hate graffiti all over the mirrors on the fourth floor. And that kind of stuff, that kind of terrorism that happens to us, to the Hawaiian students and to the Hawaiian faculty, is brushed off by the administration as essentially what we deserve for being activists. That's outrageous.
Pick up on one point that Haunani addressed, and I think your question about, well, what's all the brouhaha about? It's just maybe a couple of crazy loonies. I think that's indicative of the really insidious type of attitude that permeates this society, and especially attitude of the powerful people against other voices. When women start to say that there's discrimination, they're paranoid.
Right.
We all know that.
Right.
When a minority group says that, you know, there's racism, then it's some single loony who's making graffiti. And when a woman is raped, you know, we say, well, it's just a sex maniac. But now we begin to know date rape among college students. Have you seen those statistics? It's not a bunch of loonies. It's people sitting in this room, okay, for all of the above.
In response to your question, I answered a similar question like this at last week. And students against discrimination stressed to Simone the need for, you know, faculty diversity, for education, understanding about what is racism, what is sexism, you know, what are the issues, how should we relate to each other. And he ignored us, he turned us down. And what's happening now is just the epitome of the lack of understanding he has on racism and sexism, the lack of leadership he has. I mean, and this is not only, this is just overt racism. This is what you see, but you imagine what's not being written on walls and what is being practiced in the institution. I mean, if the University of Hawaii has come so far to the point where people are writing violent racist statements on walls, threatening people, imagine what's happening in the institution itself. I mean, this is a real bad sign of what's happening at the university, you know. And that is why I'm, you know, so angry and so discouraged by, at and by President Simone's leadership.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any other questions that they'd like to direct? I wanted to do something I hadn't done, which is to read the names of the groups who have signed the letter. I want it to be clear who's involved in this. The UH Women's Faculty Caucus, the Minority Faculty Caucus, Student Action Group, Students Against Discrimination, Commission on the Status of Women. Whenever the Women's Caucus talks to President Simone, he always says, well, the Commission on the Status of Women is my group. So here we are, Commission on the Status of Women. Women's Center, University of Hawaii. UH Manoa Pro-Choice Group. Center for Hawaiian Studies. Operation Kua'ana. Women's Studies Program. Operation Manong. Ethnic Studies Program. And Hawaii Women of Color. And we would like to thank all of these groups for working with us on this issue.